Hi, everybody. This is our October 2019 student and alumni call.
Dr. Catherine Morse is our facilitator for the evening.
Hi, everybody. So nice that we're together again. And we have some new questions and some old questions. So actually, Connie, do you have, I'm looking for the Slack channel. Do you have the old questions
right at hand? I can look them up, but in the meantime, if anyone who's on the call right now wants to throw one out,
yeah.
I'll look up the
And then I have Slack. The other questions that were sent in.
Okay.
Okay, so why don't we can start with those. First question is, what do you recommend when selling a house?
You're talking about, is it an empty house?
That was a follow-on question.
Oh, okay.
It was, what if it is empty versus furnished?
Okay. If you're going to sell a house for a client or help sell it for a client, the number one thing that you have to do is clear clutter.
All clutter says to a person looking at the house, thinking about buying a house, is that these people apparently have not taken very good care of this house because they don't have much pride for themselves.
Usually a normal, depending on where you live in the United States, I'm talking from the Midwest, and I think Texas is pretty much the same, wouldn't you say, Barbara, in terms of what the facade of the home, if someone's coming
yeah.
to look at it. You get into California,
definitely.
It's a little different. It's a little different.
No, but definitely, you need a pathway.
Yeah. Right. So, and I mean, common sense tells you to at least make the lawn look nice and neat. It doesn't have to, you don't have to pay lots of money or advise your client to pay.
The best advice I can give you at this point in time is to make sure you have a copy of Nancy Lee's two books, Look Before You Love and Feng Shui in the Garden. In those two books, you will have all the information that you need to make someone feel comfortable when they walk into a house that does not actually belong to them. For instance, she talks about thresholds, she talks about legibility, clarity, complexity, and refuge. All of those items need to be addressed specifically on the outside of the house and definitely on the inside of the house. Again, I'm referring to Nancy Lee Vidra's Feng Shui in the Garden and her Look Before You Love book. Feng Shui in the Garden is a book that has a how-to, which is what you need, especially if you're just starting out. Let your homeowner know that the doorknob of a home is the handshake of the home. When your client steps over the threshold and enters the home, you are seeing their life. If a prospective buyer has any idea about how the home affects the life, they will see this and they will know that this home was treated with love and care, or they didn't take care of the home at all. Think about this yourself. Every time you step over a threshold into your home, you are looking at your life. If you don't like what you see, you can change that because you're a feng shui professional. Refer to Nancy Lee's Look Before You Love in order to make some suggestions and changes to the client that will help sell the home. I'm not going to go into detail because we don't have enough time on this call, but that book has all the answers to your questions. I also suggest doing at least a mini space clearing and explain how important that is to your client to get their energy out of the house so new prospective buyers can feel like it's their home if they're really interested in the home. There are lots of books out there on space clearing. Just go to the library and pull one out.
Sometimes when a house doesn't sell, no matter how hard you work, it's because mentally and psychologically, the person or the couple have not let go of the house. It's like you have to divorce yourself from the house. The minute you're ready to let it go, it's going to sell. you have everything else in place. So, and I could go on and on, but those are the main things that you should focus on. And then when they're ready to move, I would suggest you, after the house is empty, go in with either both people who lived in the house or the one person, and do a really strong base clearing, and have this person go through a ritual where they gather all of their great memories, and they put it into their heart by holding their hand to their heart after they've gathered it. And any bad memories, they just put it in the bag, take it outside and pop it, and it's gone. So that you're not taking the bad memories with you. It's all psychological, but it's very powerful, and it works. So, and then when you get to the new place, have them go into the new place before all the furniture gets in there, and go have them create their own ritual, and then let all the good memories, let go of them into that house. It works. They love it. They love it. You know, it's, to them, it's important.
I'm my best guinea pig. That's everything I just told you is exactly what my husband and I did with our old house that we raised our children in, and we didn't even have time to get a real estate agent. We put the sign out on the curb, and the next day we had a buyer and sold it. So let's move on to the next question.
How to get insurance, what insurance to get, and why do I need it?
Oh, okay, that's a good question for me, Miss Small Business Development Center advisor. Okay. Insurance protects you from personal liability. You can get, if you have a business already, you can just add a rider, and it doesn't cost any more money. I have a rider for 5 or 6 different things that I do on one insurance policy that costs me $540 a year. I pay it quarterly. Or if you have a good homeowner's insurance, you can have them ask them what it would cost to put a rider on your homeowner's insurance. I did that in the very beginning, years and years and years ago, so that I'd have some type of coverage, liability. And I would form an LLC, an LLC is a limited liability company. And every state has, through their Secretary of State, that's where you go to do this, will have here in Ohio they charge $125, and then you do everything, your checking account, when you do your recommendations, your report should have your business name up there with the LLC after it. That way, if you're in the house and you bump against some priceless object and it breaks, that's why you have insurance. But there, you know, every insurance has a deductible, so it's your choice.
Some are as low as $250. Some go up as high as $1,000. It's actually your choice that you make with your agent. And if you're already working out there in the field, you should have some kind of personal liability to protect your personal asset. So just to wrap up the business insurance, if you buy a separate policy, let me explain very quickly how I'm set up. I have my main company, Intentional Woman Online, and every time I do an event like a conference, like a feng shui conference, or I'm doing a conference for business or what have you, I ask my insurance agent to give me a certificate to cover me for that event. You need to ask your agent to give you a certificate to cover you for any time you enter a client's home. The extra certificate I get from my agent costs me no more money, and I'm still covered for any liability. It does not cost me any more money. You want to also, if you do not have a professional business set up yet, you can get the same type of certificate / rider from your homeowner's insurance. I don't think I've ever run across an insurance company that wouldn't do that for their client. It's just a rider on the homeowner's. It probably doesn't cost more than $30 a year, so check it out. So Jamie, tell us about your situation.
I'm not a homeowner, so none of these suggestions really applied to me. And the IF, the guild offers an option for it, like an insurance plan. It's like $200 and some dollars a year, but for some reason that also wasn't a good option. So just to put it out there for those that might be in my position, I actually found a really great, you know, personal liability plan through a company called Alternative Balance. And I pay like $250 a year. And they cover most kind of alternative healing modalities, including feng shui. And it's a really nice plan. So just to put that out there.
If you
Thank
would
you.
Go, yeah. if you would go to the student and alumni Facebook and enter it there, mm-hmm. that way it'll be there if anyone wants.
That's actually
wants
how
to
I found it.
Really?
Through the Feng Shui Institute of America's page, you mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or through the guild, because I found
it in
a comment on the guild's page.
No, put it. Put it on the Feng Shui Institute page as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sure.
I think that'll be, and we'll keep reminding people that it's there
yeah.
if they that. I didn't know about that. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Terrific. Okay. And then, Jamie, you had also asked what's the deliverable for your consult. I think we kind of covered that last week. Did you feel you got that answered? I mean, last call?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we did talk about it. So,
we did,
yeah.
Right, and it's in the recording. The next question was how to set up a website. I think that was also addressed. How to write reports in a cost-effective manner. I think that was also addressed.
Yes, that was.
Connie shared that she records them and immediately forwards the recording to people, so they have that. And then your other question was, how do I explain feng shui in a 30-second commercial? What is a top-line overview?
Okay, mine might be a little different than most. So I'll give you my long one first, and then I'll give you a real short one. Because I'm always focusing on the science of what's going on behind the scenes, I take a more scientific approach in my 30 seconds or so. For instance, I tell them that feng shui illuminates the subliminal conversation in their home and the workplace where they are during the week. It also fleshes out the why of unreached goals and aches and pains and emotional turmoil and anything else that causes them to overly react to things happening in their life. And then I say, as a consultant, I look for cohesive messages that appear to be adversarial to you, and I show you how to change those messages. Usually by then, they're asking questions, and once I answer their specific questions, I then sum it up by pointing out that the key of the whole process is to make sure that what surrounds them in their home and their workplace communicates the positive messages that is needed to turn them around, and they can then reach their goals and intentions. I have lost one of the questions in my editing, but this next section is addressing an illness with a young child of 9 years old. His problem was related to anemia. He was diagnosed with anemia when the family moved from Utah to Zanesville, Ohio, and he'd been sick ever since they got to Ohio.
I met with a family who were very spiritual, and they told me that they see spirits. The children described them to me and everything else. But when they moved from Oregon to Ohio, the father got transferred in a job. And for some reason, the youngest son came down with, what do you call it, Catherine? It's a blood disorder.
Leukemia?
He was very anemic. Leukemia. He was anemic,
uh-huh.
is basically what it was. And I thought, okay, the mother said all the children meditate because they taught them how to meditate. And so as we were going through the home, the one focus was to heal this child. He'd been to the doctor numerous times. Nothing was working. And if you can, when you work with a client, if you can get them to understand that what you think and what you concentrate on and how you react to what you think and what you're concentrating on actually directs your life, So I explained to the 9-year-old, it was very easy to talk to him. He was so mature in understanding this. I thought, wow.
So I told the little patient that I'm going to go do some research. When I come back, I'll have a remedy for him. Well, the internet is a great place to find answers to anything, any question that you have. And what I discovered was that in anemia, the white blood cells attack the red blood cells. And the body has plasma, and between the plasma and the red blood cells and white blood cells working together, then you stay healthy. But what was happening in anemia and anemic people is that the white blood cells overrun the red blood cells and starts, I guess you could say, sucking up the red blood cells. At that point, the person becomes anemic. Well, this 9-year-old was so understanding and so mature about how to meditate and how to use meditation to calm and to heal. So I suggested to his parents to buy a red lava lamp and turn it on every night when he goes to bed and have him meditate and in his mind think about the red blood cells being nourished by the plasma and being churned to the point where the red blood cells are going to build and grow and the white blood cells go back to the level they should be. And over about 2 weeks, he went back to his doctor, and his doctor was amazed at the change in the child's energy, and the blood test showed that the red blood cells were growing strongly. So as far as I know to this day, they are still using the meditation, and he no longer has anemia. Isn't that absolutely wonderful? And doing the research, the background research, to understand how we can help a person visualize, that's all this was. It was visualization and meditation. It worked for him. And here's another case you might be interested in.
And she talked about helping her friend who had breast cancer. And what she did was go and study about what does the breast look like when there's cancer tumors and cancer eating it up. And she got all these pictures, and so she knew what she didn't want this client to be looking at. So what they did was take her bedroom and create a healing spot for her. The whole room was her healing room.
So imagine if you're the consultant and you want to know what a healthy cell looks like. So go to the library, get on the internet, and do your research and find out what you have to do to replicate a healthy cell in a healthy body. What does it look like to your client? Every case will be different. Now, this is very advanced. This is the advanced scientific lessons that I'm bringing into this call. Hadn't planned on it, but you might as well start thinking about getting more advanced in your thought process with your client. And by the way, the feng shui consultant that designed this room, her client is now healthy, cancer-free. Now, how do you get clients like this? We happen to be, Sylvia and I happen to be, a member of a lot of holistic groups of people. And we come in contact with individuals that have various types of, seem to be non-treatable disorders and diseases. We don't have 100% success. All you're really doing is supplementing what the doctor is already giving them for their illness.
Approach it from a coaching standpoint.
Tell the client that that's what you're going to be doing, is supplementing what the doctor has already given him or her. And then look at it from, as I mentioned, a coaching approach, by having a list of things that you want them to do, however many times you want them to do it, and why the symbol that you're suggesting that they use to focus their meditation or their mantra or their intention on, give them some ideas. It's that simple.
What do you think about to try to focus on something other than what your treatment. And that helps you find out, well, okay, let me see if I can recreate this for this person. And then, again, refer to the books that are on the reading list.
Diane Ackerman, who's the author of The Natural History of the Senses, is one of my favorite reference books, especially when I'm wanting to create a healing space. She goes into the theory of why a particular aroma will work better than another one. This needs to be a book in your library.
Because she covers in detail about what aromas you can use.
Or even use food. The aroma of food can make a big difference too. Take people back to their past. Bringing in a healthy plant to a healing space is a really good idea. Something that has ever-blooming leaves and ever-blooming flowers, such a, like maybe a peace lily. A peace lily is a great plant for cleaning the air, and what a great thing to put into a healing space. Stay away from cactus plants, however.
I had a client who was a physician, and he had an office in the hospital he worked at, and he had in his fortunate blessings corner, and also in his relationship corner, he had a cluster of cactus plants.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I didn't ask him how popular he was. Anybody else want to comment on their ideal client? I like the fact, Connie, that you mentioned that people have maybe tried other things and they haven't worked, and that's why they're coming to feng shui. I've also found that people, you know, just have an interest in feng shui. They've read a book or know something, a little something about it. They're intrigued. They're open-minded. I think being open-minded has been the most important element that I've found in a client.
Well, I don't know about anybody else on this call, but I have found over the centuries, over the millennium, that there's always somebody there. Take the Buddha, for instance, that talk about whatever you think is what you become. What your thoughts and your actions actually predict your life. So if you don't want to always be unhappy, always be depressed, always have things go wrong, then quit thinking about that and start focusing on what life is going to be like, because everything's all right. Everything is going to be okay. I mean, you believe it or not, as a feng shui professional, you get in and you do a lot of consults. You become their counselor in a way. And I never went to a man's home or apartment without someone with me. There was always another consultant.
Well, so that's a very good point. And I've never seen that actually addressed or mentioned, but that's a good point. And I don't know what other people's experiences or thoughts are about that.
Anybody had any issues with that? Or I think nowadays it's a little different, but you have to be really careful.
So, with that said, let's move on to the next set of questions. Catherine, you're on.
How do I answer questions about using crystals?
The school actually has a student enrolled who is a geologist. And how about if I call him and see if he'll do a mini seminar for us on one of these student calls?
I can put him on Zoom on our next call and have him talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Why not? That's my vote. I'm one voice. But
okay. Anybody else?
Sounds good.
That
sounds good, Connie.
Yes. And the other thing, Barbara and I were talking about this. Barbara, what was that last question that you had asked me about sacred geometry. Okay. Catherine and Janet and Sylvia. We
have all received years of training from Richard over the last 20 years. It's been that long. It's a tough thing to learn and even tougher to figure out how to use it in feng shui. I'll contact him for us and see what he would be willing to do?
That might be like an hour and a half, because you need at least that. And it would be on Zoom. He's in California, so.
And I'm curious about how people use that in their feng shui.
Okay, then it's settled. I will contact Feather and we'll get him on the calendar.
Going back to the crystals, how do you answer questions about using crystals?
Well, I don't answer questions because I don't know anything about how to use them, because certain types of crystals are supposed to have a healing power. Certain types of crystals are considered bad energy. This guy is a geologist, so he knows all about, so he would be the one that could tell us.
Okay.
And he understands that.
Okay.
Now, his business is actually selling crystals. He has a business that's been around for a long time. So I'll talk to him and see.
He would be willing to do this for us.
The question was, at some point down the line, can we have a review call around?
Oops, I cut you off, Catherine. I'm sorry. Why don't I get together with Sylvia and maybe bring on a one or two other masters from the school, and let's just do a little hash out of all the basics from different points of view. And don't forget, you can always go back to the course where all the basic courses are, the lessons, and you know, refer back to your manual and the handouts and things like that. There's a lot of basic stuff in the level one that you can review. Okay, Catherine, next question.
Is there a checklist for each step to take for a feng shui consultation?
Actually, Catherine, Sylvie and I were discussing that just the other day. Each year we like to revisit the checklist, and it hasn't been done since 2014. So we're going to review that. There's a lot of new things we want to add on that checklist for a consultation, because we have gotten a little bit more advanced in the early part of the course, and we want everybody to be prepared when they go out on their first consultation.
All right. We're making really nice progress here. When talking to real estate agents, what is the most important info for them to know?
That's an excellent question. It depends on what the real estate agent is asking you to do for them. Is it selling a house? Is it repositioning or staging the furniture? A lot of real estate agents now know how to do rearranging of the furniture, staging the home, so you probably won't be asked to do that. But I can share with you, when I do get calls from a real estate agent, it's because they have had the house on the market for a long time, and for some reason it just won't sell. Janet, do you have some thoughts on that?
A lot of real estate agents were having open houses, okay? And I asked if I could kind of tag along and give them a feng shui point of view for selling the home. And I think it was an eye-opener for the real estate people of what they need to help their clients with.
And I'm stepping in here for Janet. I had to cut out some of the stuff that she was saying because there was so much background noise, but she did, in effect, do a staging. This was a long time ago when staging was not a certified program that you could learn to do.
And so it's going to be different in every area, and depending on the real estate person or agency that you might be working with.
I can tell you what I'm doing now with the real estate agents here in Canal Winchester.
Every real estate group has one day in the week where they train their agents, and I will call them and ask if I can be at an agent training and talk to them about archetyping or primary imaging, depending on how you're approaching it. I then go over the principles of archetyping and how it can help a real estate agent help a couple who can't agree on the type of home they want. Rather than try to explain what archetyping is in detail on this call, we do have a course go back to level two and study the archetype lesson. Catherine, you told me about a book written by Toby Israel that covers a lot of information that's a lot like archetyping. Could you share some information? I believe the name of the book is Someplace Like Home.
And our thinking and our gestures, they also, our initial home environments have had the same effect. So even though you may say, well, I have a very different style than my parents' home and I have very different tastes, what you will find is that you repeat certain patterns, there are certain elements that are going to repeat in your home that harken back to your early childhood home. And so that's the focus of her work and of her book.
Okay, here's some homework for everybody. Write down a childhood happy experience that you had or continually participated in that made you feel really good. When you can record this in your writing, then write down also, describe the space in which you were enjoying this activity again and again. The architecture of the space, the room, if you were out of doors, and get very detailed about what was surrounding you. And then we'll talk about it on a future call and see how that matches where you live now.
No, but I'd love to re-enter that whole world of learning again. Yeah.
Okay. We need to repeat those on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So everybody
turns
them in. So.
Next question. What have you found to be the best way to get new business that resonates well with this work?
When Sylvia and I were business partners in Feng Shui, we used to contact all the various recreation centers, and they would always have us open programs for offering just general public interest courses.
Feng Shui was always the most popular. We used to pack our rooms. They were classrooms. We did them in a high school class. What it did was get us so that they could ask their questions. Reading a book is one thing, but they don't know how to apply it.
I did one of these sessions at a rec center, and I had like 35 people in the audience, and I brought about $500 worth of books. Now, keep in mind, I bought these at wholesale price. During the break and after the class was finished, I added up my receipts and realized not only did I make $15 ahead on the attendance, but I made $348 selling books.
So what would you say? Do you think that in this time in history, it would work the same?
I think those always work, in-person. I've never made more than that after that or before that, but it was just one of those, it was just a good audience. Here's what I'm going to recommend. Everybody should have either a Facebook page or just a blog page where you can collect. It used to be when you had a storefront, if you didn't have customers,
then you had no way of gathering addresses and telephone numbers, contact info from your walk-in customer. So what that meant is you would have no way of following up with them when you had sales or special offers. Now, with all the online marketing opportunities, all you have to do is set up a simple blog, have a contact form. Then anytime anyone visits your blog, they like what they're reading, they can fill out your contact form, and now you have their email address. So what does that email address do for you? You can use it over and over again to promote a special that you might have on an ebook, to promote a workshop that's coming up. Maybe it's a free workshop, but maybe it's once you have continued to communicate with them and they haven't taken themselves off of your email list, they might be interested in buying a product that you now have developed. So let me go through a scenario. Let's say you have 2,000 signups on your email list after a couple of years, and now you're going to offer a class for $39.97. I'll tell you the significance of the 97 later. So let's say you have 1,000 people sign up, or even 500 sign up for your class coming up. So if you multiply, let's say it's 1,000, you multiply $39.97. We'll round it off to 40. So $40 times 1,000 is what? It's $40,000. Hey, it's just a little tiny class, but as long as you're visible on the internet and you are offering options both free and otherwise, that's the possibilities. And before we move on, I would like to acknowledge a graduate of the school, Jamie Bass, who has a wonderful, most beautifully written blog that everybody should go sign up for, just to read what she writes and how she articulates her words. And Catherine, you wanted to know if anyone had any experience working with a contractor or an interior designer.
Do you know?
I have actually worked with an architect.
Architect, okay.
Mm-hmm.
This architect also was a landscape professional. So we worked a lot in determining where specific vegetation and flower gardens would be planted for her to get the maximum impact. She spent most of her career in California and was one of the screenwriters on all three films of Back to the Future. So she was very eclectic, and she wanted me to help her choose door colors, or her outdoor door colors, and she had 10 doors in this huge home that faced in different directions outdoors. We don't have enough time for me to go into the colors that I chose and why we chose the colors for each one of the exits. But needless to say, she entertains a lot, and she has a lot of fun talking about her various colors of doors.
So anybody else, has anybody else worked, you know?
Career as a professional organizer.
Uh-huh.
So I got into feng shui because once I organized people, some of my clients would ask me about feng shui. And I had read a couple of books, and they didn't make sense to me, but I had my office feng shui by a friend who did different schools of feng shui, which kind of confused. But before she left my home, my phone rang for a client, just telling me what I needed to do. And some were major changes, some were minor, and I made the minor ones while she was there. But so partnering up, if you're not into this, if you're just doing feng shui, partner up, because a lot of people need to get organized. Mm-hmm. Also, I do space clearing, but I got into that later on after feng shui. A space clearing. I just had a client that was buying a new home that wanted me to do a space clearing in her new home before she moved anything into it. She also wanted me to feng shui the house before she moved into it. I'm like, really can't do that. There's nothing here. And also, I think one of you said, you know, painters, there's all types of people that you can partner with. And you can either offer a referral fee or ask them for a referral fee or just say, hey, I'm going to send you some business. It depends on what you guys are comfortable with. But those are what I have found in since 1996. I did feng shui, started in 2002. But the organizing business, organization, space clearing, feng shui, those are three big things to do in your home.
And interior design is a big thing.
And interior design, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And having the partners in your community, you know, a good painter, you know, a person that can do paint murals on your wall or a wallpaper hanger or whatever it might be. Anybody that you can partner with and refer your clients to is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I invite others and you know, posting their ideas on to the Facebook page.
Yeah, the more ideas. I would like to say something or ask you. And you've used your feng shui knowledge in a different way in working with men looking for dates. Is that what it is?
No, actually, going through divorce.
going through divorce, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you,
yeah.
you, that would be interesting to hear about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a transition point. So generally speaking, mm-hmm. they're long-term, they're coming from long-term marriages and, you know, usually a home that they've been in for an extended period of time. So they're starting from scratch, and they're in shock. They're in turmoil from the whole divorce process itself, and setting up a new home and thinking about the feng shui of it is its own challenge. I mean, getting divorced is its mm-hmm. own separate piece of work, and it's very consuming. So having a supportive home is something that I insist that they do right away, because oftentimes they'll say, well, you know, I don't have any money, blah, blah, and these people actually do, but they become so frightened about it. So I'll stay on my friend's couch. Well, you're 57 years old. You're used to living in your own home. Staying on your friend's couch as a long-term play is not going to work. But anyway, I'm happy to talk about it in the future, but we're beyond the top of the hour here. Another hour that went zipping by with Rich with lots of great information. I hope everybody's enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And for the next two calls, depending on how the holidays go, I'll see if I can get the crystal guy. I'll talk to Feather to see if we can maybe work something out where he could do a special one, maybe not on an evening call or something, but where he could do a workshop for us on Zoom.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, okay.
We'll talk next month.